Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
We're a nation that's obsessed with celebs, and the more private they are, the more we want to know. Every week in Fabulous magazine, we talk to our most loved celebrities, whether it's about fashion, beauty, or more personal matters. Now we're going one step further with this series of intimate and tell-all conversations.
And everybody was like, oh, that voice, yes, is so
weird,
beautiful.
I can't remember them all like going on about it and thinking, is it really that good? I was really young.
Yeah, it was quite moving.
Thinking,
really.
All right, yeah. Quite good. Might work on this a little bit more.
This is the podcast where I get under the skin of what really makes a woman by meeting the most important lady in their life.
You're never too old to need your mum. There's always something that'll come along that you need them for, I guess.
Mums and daughters may not always be the best of friends, but in this show, our fabulous females are brave enough to let us into their personal lives and share the highs and lows of their relationships. I'm Lisa Snowden. This is Things I Told My Daughter. And here's what happened when I met Kimberly Walsh and her mum, Diane. So today I'm on my way to speak with Kimberly Walsh and her mum, Diane, at Kimberly's home in North London. Kimberly Walsh is best known for being one-fifth of girl group Girls Aloud. Her pop career began when she starred on reality TV show Pop Stars The Rivals in 2002 and has since achieved 20 consecutive top 10 singles in the UK with hits such as I'll Stand By You, The Promise and my personal favourite, Sound of the Underground. Now Kimberly is a proper girls girl and I can't wait to go and talk to her about life growing up in Bradford to the dizzying heights of her musical career. So come with me and let's head on inside and go meet Kimberly and Diane Walsh. So that was quite a welcome, I have to say. I met your boys at the door.
You say met, they kind of charged at you and jumped on you.
Just heard this like, and I was like, okay, this sounds like little people opening the door. And then it was just, oh my God, they're so energetic, but they're just so damn cute.
They're so sociable though. Like they just get excited when people come to the door, which is great. But I'm just like, guys, chill out a bit until they've actually walked through the door. They're a lot.
Put on quite a show for me. I love
it.
Charging around.
Pretty girls, they tend to step up their game and really get competitive. And they were like, oh, let me show you my running. No, let me show you how fast I can run.
Well, I'm very flattered.
Yes, you should be.
And I have to say, Diane, it's so lovely to meet you.
And you.
Really
last,
nice.
Yes.
I've heard lots about you. We're literally neighbours.
I know.
I mean, we're Essex girls. Yeah. Even though I sound like one and you don't.
No, I'm trying to pick up a bit of the Essex twang.
Yeah,
no.
You need a bit more.
Yeah.
But Kimberly, thank you for having me in your home.
No,
this
it's
is
lovely
so gorgeous.
To see you. It's nice to be here.
It's nice and chilled and we can just relax.
It does make a difference, I think. It's nice to do these things in a place where you feel comfortable because you can just chat freely.
And with this podcast, I always want it to be in a place that feels special to you. Mm. So, I mean, this is clearly your home. So it's obviously your special place.
Yes.
And Diane, do you spend a lot of time here?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's quite special now in our family, isn't it? Because it's kind of become a bit like the family home that people come to, like for like Christmas and big events.
Yeah,
it's lovely. You move down to London and you've got you downsized a bit to come down here. So where we would have gone to mum, obviously, for all the big stuff, now we sort of come here and I can have everybody sleep over and
that's
the kids are wild. We've got a lot of memories here now.
Yeah, we have. Lots of Christmas photos that we've got. Yeah.
60ths. Sorry to give you away, but, I think people will accept you over 60.
Fabulous. I thought she was talking about somebody else.
Oh. Yeah.
So I want to begin with asking you both to describe each other in a few words. Kim, you go first.
Okay. I would describe my mum as possibly one of the most laid-back people that I know. Like, she's almost laid down, which I think is where I get it from, but maybe not quite to her level. I think you're just very kind and just a brilliant role model, to be honest. What are you going to say about
you,
me,
Diane? Mama?
Go for it, mother.
Well, yeah, I think you do take after me in some ways.
We're quite similar, we are.
Yeah, similar things, really, I've got to say about Kimberly. Thoughtful, caring to the whole family. Yeah, we can always rely on her to look after us in different ways. And yeah, and a brilliant mother. Now,
no, you do say that now, don't we, all the time, don't you? It's funny, like, I just look at you and I think, to be quite honest, my experience of motherhood is so much easier than what my mum's would have been. Like, I literally am in awe of you so much more now than I even was before, because I don't know how you did it. Like, she brought up four of us, you know, as a single parent, and working full time and doing like extra things to make money and all of these things, and life was harder. You know, I look at mine and I do struggle with two young boys, but I've got a husband who's helping me out daily. I can order my shopping to the door. Like, yeah, there's a lot of things that make life easier now. And I just think you're like superwoman. I don't know what would possess you to have four of us, but I'm glad that you did.
Yeah, so am I.
I am glad you did.
Yeah, but I look at you and Sally, my older daughter, and I think, how did I do it?
Yeah.
When I see what you have
so
to do.
It's so hard.
I know. I think now as well, there's so much choice in everything that makes it harder in some ways for you, because the kids are more demanding in what they want, whereas in when you were younger, it was, well, you have that or that, and that's
go
it.
It's true. Like, mine are like, we want to go to this particular soft play today. and can we go and see these particular people that might live like an hour away?
Yeah.
Stupidly, you sort of try to keep them happy. So I think we tried to do more than you did.
Yeah, definitely.
Driving and running them around and stuff, aren't we? But
apart from when I started taxiing for stage school.
Did you do that for a living?
No.
She felt like it though.
Nobody paid you, but you were doing it every day.
Basically an unpaid taxi.
It was like every night after
every
school.
Night
some nights, some weeks it was every week, every night, wasn't it?
Both weekends.
Yeah.
We didn't think anything of it. And now I'm like, well, what did you do about Amy, who was a baby, who should have been, like, in bed at seven? Yeah. She's like, I must have just took her in her pyjamas in the car and just got on with it, like, 80s style.
And we used to make rotas with other parents who had children there as well. So it was like, you do the picking up. And I had a chart
and got all these parents
organised, because somebody would have somebody in the same class as one of mine, you know, and so that made it easier for everyone, really.
And this was growing up in Bradford, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, so growing up in Bradford, started stage school at the age of five, and it did sort of take over everybody's life because we all loved it so much. Mm. All four of us went, and I'm sure in some ways it was brilliant.
Yeah.
Like, I'd be, like, loving dropping them off every night, every weekend, all day.
Worth the journeys.
It's worth the journeys, but it was quite all-consuming.
Yeah,
so
it was.
How many hours were you there in the evening at age five?
Well, not so many at age five.
Like an hour or two.
Yeah, but it got more and more. Like, the more into it you get, then obviously then I wanted to do separate dance lessons, separate acting, singing, and I don't know. Yeah, it became full on.
And then the shows, it was like weekends, a lot of weekends were taken.
Weekends. Although me and Sally have discussed this, and we did say she must have been so happy, because it was like, drop them at nine, pick them up at six on a weekend day. I'd be like, see ya, I'm going to the spa.
So was that the age that you knew you wanted to be a performer, do you think? Like, what kind of age do you think it was?
I think, so we kind of joined because your best friend said, oh, should we take the kids here?
Yeah.
And you didn't really know if we were going to really like it. But quite quickly, I think it became clear that me and my older sister, Sally, were quite good at it and really enjoyed it. So it sort of became quite intense quite quickly. Like, I went to Edinburgh Fringe Festival at like the age of like seven and stayed there for a week doing shows. Like, I just wasn't bothered. Like, I just loved it so much. It didn't even bother me to be
and
away
the,
from home.
Were the shows more dance or singing or acting?
Everything.
Was it a combination?
Like a real,
it was a whole performance.
Yeah, yeah. It was a real musical theatre show. Yeah. So, you know, like Seven Brides for Seven Brothers or
wonderful.
Something like that. And I just loved it. I just couldn't believe something could make you feel like that. Like, and you could just do it every day, which we did to be honest, most days.
You used to go on the streets and perform.
Go on the streets, perform. Even like growing up in our house, it was always like a performance of, you know, something before school, Sound of Music, Annie, whatever was the chosen one of the time.
Who was chief choreographer?
Sally, my older sister. She's bossy, she's like a typical older sister. You do what she says, you play the parts she tells you, and you just be happy with it, basically.
And was Adam fine with it too?
Adam's like,
he's outvoted, clearly.
Well, Adam, he's got three sisters. Yeah, he did have to play a girl at times, but he was always the Danny to my Sandy, which I really appreciated. He just went along with it. He's one of those men now that he's like so weirdly in tune with his feminine side, and like, you know, new girlfriends and stuff that he meets, like he knows the whole script to like Dirty Dancing, Grease, and they're like, what? And he's like, I've got three sisters, like, and it is funny, but he didn't mind it.
No.
He said he actually quite liked it.
It's going to make somebody the most amazing
husband. Eventually, hopefully he will, we've done our groundwork. That's all we can do.
Be able to deal with the periods and the mood swings, exactly. As well as all the musicals.
Yeah, as well as recite musicals.
Well, I think I know what's going on now, girl.
Amazing. So, Jillian, what was Kimberly like as a little girl?
Cute.
I know she was born.
Cute. Cute.
I wasn't cute, really.
Oh, you were.
Mums always say that.
Yeah, well, I'm allowed.
I think I blossomed from an ugly duckling a little bit more towards Swan, but I wasn't that cute. But anyway.
She was very friendly and, with people. She wasn't shy at all, were you, really? Mm. Yeah, you mixed so easily. As far as the singing, the time when we noticed that she had a beautiful voice, it was like a revelation to everyone. Mm. It was a school carol concert, and the music teacher picked you for some reason. I don't know how she knew he could sing. And she sang something. I can't remember what it was.
Something about stars, yeah.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
And everybody was like, that voice is so
weird,
beautiful.
I can't remember them all like going on about it and thinking, was it really that good? I was really young.
Yeah, it was quite
thinking,
moving.
Really. All right, quite good. Might work on this a little bit more.
Because Diane, you were a music teacher as well.
Yes.
As well as the stage school driving backwards and forwards and doing
I did music at college. Yeah. I did a teaching diploma. And a B.Ed. after it. So I did music as my main subject then,
and played piano, guitar,
clarinet, singing I did as well. So I did that, and then I taught in a middle school, so I was in charge of the music there. And I also taught piano at home as well quite a bit.
Yeah, which we didn't appreciate.
Yeah.
So get home from school and she'd be like, I've got a lesson, everybody to the rooms. And you're like, oh, great.
Shove something in the oven, it'll be ready when I've finished. Yeah.
So when you discovered that Kim could sing and she had this like beautiful voice, did you then take it upon yourself to kind of nurture it more at home or?
Not really,
no,
did I?
No.
I didn't need to, because stage school was so good, really, and gave you so many opportunities, didn't it?
Yeah.
To do things.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't have any proper training vocally until I did Shrek at the age of 30.
Oh, my gosh,
which
seriously?
Which was a revelation for me, because actually I never realised how much it could help. So I wish I would have had that when I was younger. But, you know, obviously I got by without it. But that was quite interesting. But we did a lot of shows. I had plenty of ways to kind of get it out there, and I did Les Mis as a child in Manchester at the Palace.
That's amazing, because there's some serious songs in that.
Yeah, that was
musical.
a really brilliant experience. Yeah. I think that's when I knew that I wanted to be on stage, and really I just always wanted to do musical theatre. I never really saw myself in a pop band, but then as I got older I kind of just went for auditions for anything that involved singing, and then got into Girls Aloud, and the rest is kind of history. And then I've come full circle back to musical theatre.
So, but you sang, didn't you sing Whitney Houston song for pop stars?
For the
Girls Aloud audition?
Yeah, I did.
I mean, how do you sing a Whitney Houston song without any vocal training? It just seems crazy.
I've got quite a good range.
Yeah,
I've the most powerful voice
range
in the world, but I always kind of know how to make it my own and make it work. Gosh, I remember singing that in the car park before I went in. I kept just doing it over and over again. They were like, no, honestly, I think it's good. Like, we can go in now. I'm like, oh, one more time. Where do?
Oh, that journey. Yeah. Did we get coffee on the motorway or something?
Spilled it all over my outfit. It was a dramatic first audition. But those are always the the way it works out for things when it goes well. The same happened when I went for Les Mis when I was 12. Oh, I crashed on the way there and I was like, nope, I still want to go in and do it.
Yeah, because your auntie, we were in Middlesbrough at some friends, and so my sister drove you there, didn't she, with your cousin? And they did have a bad crash on the way, so my brother-in-law had to go as well and pick them up on the way. And
would usually stop most normal people.
Yeah, no, my cousin was like, I'm not doing it anymore. She's like, no, thanks. I was like, no, sorry, can someone come pick me up and take me?
Tenacity. I love that. Ambition.
But I'd been for it before and I didn't get it. Oh, and I was determined. I felt like I was more ready. I was so nervous the first time. I was like, no, I need to do it this time.
Yeah.
Good girl. I do get nervous.
Do you?
Yeah, I do get nervous.
Does it affect, like, you know, one of the sometimes bit. The first oh, it's note awful, or the first it? Word? Like, for me, when I'm on stage, I'm like, hello. Yeah. And then like, you have to sort of go, yeah, together in your
and
head.
It's so much worse when you're singing. I hate that so much. That's what vocal training helps a lot with, actually.
So the really breathing before and...
Like little tricks to just manage it a bit, because you start singing and it's like, oh! You're like, and then you can get it together and carry on.
So what was your relationship like when you were growing up, Kimberly, between your mum and you? So, you know, teenage years and those sort of difficult...
I think, I don't know what you think, but I think I was probably one of the more easygoing kids. I was very placid.
Yeah, like, from being young, a lot younger as well. Yeah.
I don't know. It just was my character, or maybe it was where I fall in the family, because I'm like second child and they always get a little bit ignored, which is fine, you know. And Adam's a boy, so he's a bit special because he was a boy, and Amy's the youngest, so you did baby her, and I was just kind of there, but I was the right character for that. I didn't really mind.
I don't remember you having tantrums like the others.
No, I'm just not as high and strung. I just don't get as pet up about things, and I still don't now, do I really?
No.
But I think I was a fairly easy child, really.
Yeah, she was, I've got to say.
I don't. I think because I was so focused on other things, there weren't that many things to distract me,
And you were always busy, weren't you, as well? You were working and staying at your friends in Ilkley.
I worked a lot, because I obviously wanted to earn my own money. I started working at 13,
really hard. Yeah.
And I all worked every weekend from then.
But having that laid-back trait that you got from your mum is really...
I've definitely got that from my mum, for sure, because the others are a bit more like my dad. If you catch them at the wrong time, it's not quite as pretty.
Yeah. A bit like me. a bit hot-headed.
Yeah, no, they are more hot-headed. I mean, don't get me wrong. If I need to, I can show my authority, but I think it's always more powerful when you do it less, because people actually listen. It really worked well for me in the band, because they were like, if I was annoyed, they were like, okay, Kimberly's annoyed about this, I think we might have to. And I was like, yes, it's worked, it's paid off.
Yeah.
You thought I was just sat there doing nothing, but it's all in there. I'm thinking about it all. But we are a bit like too laid back in some ways, aren't we?
I feel I am. I wish I wasn't quite.
You are like, I think. Yeah. Do you even know where we were most of the time growing up? We lived like we backed onto a wood, and we were like, we'll be back later on.
Yeah, it was different in those days.
You could do that then.
I used to be at home just holding the fort till you all came back from wherever you were. So. It was like,
We were really close growing up, I think, still. Like, considering you had four kids and you had to share your time and love between all of us, I think we've all got really strong bonds with you. Like, because I've got two, and I'm like, oh gosh, if I had more, like, how would I give them all enough time? Like, they've got so many questions, and actually, as you get older, they need more in a way, because they need proper chats and to be in tune with what's going on. But I don't know, you just managed it, I suppose. But we've always been really close, haven't we? I did struggle when I first moved down. We used to speak like literally every night. And then as it went along, I got more settled here. And now I feel like, I don't know, like, I probably don't have to call on you as much. Now it's much more like advice for the kids and stuff.
Which is good.
Yeah.
Mummy on speed dial.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's fast forward to when you moved to 2002 and you literally became a household name overnight. I mean, how was that?
I think it was It was strange for me, obviously, because as you said, it was really fast. But it was harder for my family, I think. My sisters really struggled with it. I think they literally felt like they'd lost their sister. Like, they didn't find it easy at all.
Because we didn't see you much at weekends, did we?
No, it was
you were
so
too
intense.
Busy, really. Yeah.
It was literally like I got.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
In the band, I came home for Christmas Day, watched ourselves on Top of the Pops, and then went straight back and started working again. And it was just a bit weird. Yeah, it was bizarre because we'd always been so close. But then I found a way to kind of involve them more into that world, and that's when it all kind of fell into place. Like, they would come along to gigs because it was actually totally fine for them to do that. Yeah. And when we used to obviously go out of a weekend, as you do at that age in town, in London, they'd come down and come out with us, like, so they're really close with all the girls. And then it felt more like, okay, I've managed to sort of merge the worlds a bit, which then I felt, okay, I can do this now.
And how was it for you, Diane, just seeing Kimberly just in everybody's living rooms and in every posters and adverts and everywhere?
Well, amazing, really. I mean, it was like a dream happening. Mm. And I used to follow you on tour, didn't I?
Yeah, she was a bit of a groupie.
Yeah.
I'd be like, one show's really fine. She's like, no, I'll travel to Dublin and then I'll come back down with you to Newcastle and then I'll go. And her and her friends would go and stay in the hotel.
And then one of the tours, I can't remember which it was, but me and my sister and my youngest daughter and her youngest, there's a year in that, we set off on a road trip. We literally went Birmingham, Cardiff.
Because they were younger, so they were really excited by the whole
Brighton,
thing.
And then back up to Wembley, I think. We did the whole
thing. Yeah, Amy always says that it was really hard for her, though, because at school, obviously, everybody was like, oh, that's your sister. Yeah. And I think she had a bit of a hard time, which I feel bad about, because she never told me that at the time.
Oh, yeah.
She said there was a bit of jealousy, and it was hard for her to sort of manage it. I think it's probably the hardest for her, because she was younger.
Kids can be so coarse, but, you know, when they work out, like, oh, is that your sister?
Yeah,
and girls
who do you think you are? She got a lot of that. Oh, you think you're special because your sisters and girls.
But there wasn't any jealousy between Sally and Amy and you? No, nothing like that?
No. No, because I was always, like, the singer. They were more the actresses. Yeah. So they kind of just knew that was kind of right for me, I think.
Yeah.
But they just missed me, I think.
The kids at school who I taught, they loved it, you know, because when she was in the competition, my head was really good, and he said, I think we need to get a big poster outside. So it was one of the main roads out of the centre of Bradford out to. So we got this big poster, and the head actually went up and put it up outside in front of the school.
Bless him, that is nice.
Yeah. Vote for Kimberly.
That is lovely, that support.
You came in, didn't you, to say
to say thanks.
Yeah.
And Diane, how does Kimberly cope when things get tough, would you say? I mean, things get a bit on top.
Yeah, it does get a bit much, but she's very organised, so she never really lets it get to her to that extent, do you? You're a good coper, but...
But, I mean, I have been quite lucky that I've not had a very dramatic life. It's a bit boring, to be honest. Like, sometimes when I'm talking about it, I'm like, in a weird way, the journey that I've been on has been fairly plain sailing.
Yeah.
Really. And I think that's just because of certain choices that I've made and, like, staying with Justin for so many years. Like, we got together when I was in the early days of the band.
Yeah. And he was from a boy band as
well. Yeah. But if you stay with one person for that whole time... Yeah. You're going to avoid quite a lot of drama because generally in life, that's what causes drama.
Yeah,
the bad ones. I think when the band finished, I think that was a hard time for you, wasn't it? Because you didn't really know. Well, because you didn't know what you were going to do, really.
Yeah, maybe.
I can remember that.
Yeah, maybe that first year was tricky, actually, until I worked out what I was going to do and how was it going to go.
So much normally, and then you're just like, well, I'm not doing anything.
I don't like being bored or not busy. So, yeah, I think that's when I bought this house, actually, and I just started decorating it. I was just painting every day. And
well, you actually painted it yourself? Did you?
Cheryl even came and painted it with me because we were all in the same position.
Seriously,
people would never believe it, but the two of us would be like, right, get your overalls on, because her dad is a painter and decorator. And I can actually thank her that she's painted a fair bit of this house for me. And we all did it. Her, Justin, her mum, she roped in, her brother.
Her brother, didn't I?
Yeah. And we all just, like, blitzed the house decorating it because we just needed something to do where nobody was going to see us and we could still be to spend time together. It's so bizarre, but, yeah, pretty much just did that for a while until I worked out what I was going to do.
Both really good here.
Took a while, Her attention, she was more of a perfectionist than me, to be honest.
Did you do masking tape it all and do it all? Because I'm a bit slapdash.
I'm a bit like, you can't. Yeah, it's the preparation I'm a bit slapdash with, but not
You and Justin.
Not applying it.
Both perfectionists.
Yeah, we are, actually.
It looks really beautiful.
Find a way to entertain yourself. But no, then
what
I guess...
What music did you listen to whilst decorating?
I don't know.
Did you listen to Girls Aloud on repeat?
Definitely not. Definitely not. We were quite glad for the break, I think.
So, ladies, what is your favourite way to spend time together as mum and daughter?
I feel like we don't really get a chance to do that anymore. Like,
spa time. No.
Yeah, I think we need to try to make more effort to do that now that the boys are a little bit older.
Yeah.
It's different, isn't it? Like, we're so distracted when the kids are around.
Time.
You can't finish a conversation.
A time when we get the most time to talk to each other is if I come the night before.
Yeah.
And I'm staying the night for the next morning.
Yeah.
You know, we spend that time. And like last night we didn't we? Because I stayed over last night. So that is the best time, really. Yeah. Or in the morning sometimes.
Yeah.
When we get up to the boys are playing.
Yeah, we can actually catch up.
Yeah.
A bit of time.
Exactly.
Yeah,
because they don't like you talking to each other.
No, they don't. They want to be involved all the time.
The other ones are the same. Sally's are the same.
Oh, and they're like, to the queen nanny. To the queen nanny. Nanny's like, nanny, or mummy.
Yeah. They don't want to be like not involved in the conversation.
No.
But if we did have the choice, then going for a nice lunch would be nice, wouldn't it? We try and do that on Mother's Day sometimes, don't we? Go out with you rather than just with my own kids.
Yeah, you do, which is really nice.
I'd rather go and see my mum actually.
Yeah, we do that. It makes such a difference if you leave the kids behind because it just does. I remember, I go out with my family and I don't speak to anybody except for the kids because they're so excited, Auntie Lily. And then we're just running around everywhere and climbing all over me and I just adore them. So I'm just like, what do you need? And then I'm like, Dad, I didn't even speak to you. Mum, I didn't even speak to you, you know?
True.
It's like a whole lunch. So it makes a big difference, like for Mother's Day or something like
that.
Yeah.
To literally go for a nice afternoon tea and just
eat. We've done that, haven't we?
So who still lives in Bradford? Your sister.
Just my sister.
So our cousins and their kids. So we go up there sometimes to get the kids together. Because there's like 13 kids now between us all.
Wow.
Mm. They're similar ages, aren't they, really? The oldest ones. Hers started a bit sooner than mine, so the oldest one's 10, I think. Whereas our oldest one's 8.
Young.
But, you know, they all get on together, don't they, now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I do like to try and get them together with the northern cousins.
It is a bit chaotic.
Yeah, but mine are fine because they're like we always joke because obviously northern kids are a little bit more boisterous sometimes, but mine fit in pretty well with northerners, to be honest. Whereas Sally, my older sisters, are a bit like, gosh, what's going on? They're like wild animals. I'm like, nah, this is pretty normal for us, to be honest.
And they do like wrestling moves.
Yeah, exactly.
Just in the corner,
all the usual boisterous things.
So, what are your proudest moments of one another? Mm. I know it's a really and just throwing in a really heavy, strong. I mean, I feel like you've said some really beautiful things about each other already, and it's really clear to see how.
It's hard to think of like one moment for you, because I do feel like I'm the most proud of just thinking about how you did it, how you did what you did on your own. I just can't, I'm never ever going to be able to like understand that in my head. I just can't, I don't think I would be able to do it.
You would though, you just do, you just get on with it, you've no choice.
Yeah, but you know, like obviously when my mum and dad obviously were getting divorced and things, like you've got to deal with all that on your own with four kids and try and, you know, keep
How old were you when that happened?
Five.
Right, so you don't really remember what was...
But it wasn't... No, I do remember.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I really do. And the two younger ones don't so much. No. Amy was a baby, wasn't she? Mm. But that's another thing that I can't bear thinking that you had to deal with that with a baby. It's not, you know, it's hard.
Yeah.
And so the fact that you did, just suck it up, get on with it, brought us all up. We were all happy, you know, maybe not that clean, but happy. and then you managed to basically give us all the opportunities to do what we wanted to do, despite like not having much money to spare. And I feel like I'm proud of you for just being that person. I hope that I would be able to do that if I needed to.
Thank you. Don't make me cry.
Sorry, but you are pretty special.
Well,
you don't have to say anything about me.
No.
But you can if you want.
There are a few big things, really, aren't there? Because when you got in the band, for one thing.
Yeah.
That was a big thing for you, because I knew...
It was quite a big thing. I'd been...
Because it was trying to find a career in singing, really, and being able to sing, how you enjoyed it so much. Yeah. And if you didn't do that, what were you going to do?
And I'd had a lot
And
of
you
knockbacks.
Had the knockback, didn't you, when you thought you weren't going through. And
were you
I can remember, I was proud when you thought you were going through and then you got knocked out.
Yeah.
And then she said, I went in the morning, I can picture this, actually. And she said, well, I'll just have to get on with it. And went to work as a waitress that
day. Yeah, I went back to work. I went back to college as well.
Yeah, went back to college. Uni. And she did just really get on with it. So I hadn't actually thought about that so much until it's come out
now.
Well,
that was so weird, because I was in the competition and then I got knocked out. And as my mum said, decided, okay, just got to go back to normal. Went back to, like, my jobs and all of everything for just, like, 1 week. And then Louis Walsh turned up and was like, oh, there's been a problem with one of the girls. You back in? And then I was like, back in. Yeah. And then I never came home.
Whirlwind.
So it was very fast. It was very weird.
But it was the way you just didn't mourn about it. You know, she just accepted, well, this is it. So I'll just carry on. And you were doing a degree, weren't you?
Yeah. I'm so glad I didn't have to finish it.
You did 2 years.
Thanks, Louis.
I went back in to, like, register for the third year and, like, you know, say what my dissertation was going to be. But I was thinking, I could have been in Popstars The Rival. And then it all turned around.
Wow.
So, thanks for that.
Thanks, Louis. I mean, that's incredible, though, to have that strength of character to just be, you know, not to be like, I'm not going back to my old life. This is not my destiny. Yeah. Just to be like, really... Yeah. Just to be humble and gracious and just be...
I think it's you, though. I just do, because you are so laid back like that. I know, what is the point as well of being angry about stuff? Just get on with it.
Well, you knew that was your destiny, so that would have been quite hard to swallow. And, you know, it was a public thing as well. Cause
it was
public. Telly, and so, you know,
it was, and, like, everyone at the diner, like,
all
where I worked.
You.
Yeah, they all knew where I was. So I had to be back and be like, yeah, no, it didn't work out. And, yeah, it was a bit. But I think as I started acting and singing so young... I'd had that from, like, 5, 6 years old, so
not
that's why it didn't have as much impact. I got down to the last two for Coronation Street. I didn't get it. It's just, like, another knockback. It was sad because I wanted that so much more, obviously. But I just thought, it's just another one of those things. It's not meant for me. But Sally, my older sister, to this day said she just knew it wasn't right. She said, I couldn't settle with that decision when they said you weren't in the final 10. She said something about it just never felt right. And then when they came...
Oh, I got
chills. Yeah, no, she was like, I just knew that it wasn't the end. So
oh, my God.
She knew, but yeah.
So, I'm just thinking about Adam coming downstairs with his towel around him.
Yeah.
We didn't even know that's what Louis was coming for.
No.
Was he came to the front door?
Yeah. He just knocked on the front door. It was meant to be an ITV2 follow-up interview.
Right.
Which I didn't know anything about TV. If I knew what I knew now, I'd be like, oh, whatever, as if there's going to bother doing that. But at the time, we didn't know enough, so we thought that's what it was. Yeah, my brother was in the bath, came down in his towel, like, what are you all screaming for? And Louis's like, you're in the house. You're in the house. I'm like, actually, Louis, get out of our house. What are you doing?
That's brilliant.
Oh, it was funny.
Oh, my God.
It was eventful. There was a lot of little eventful things along the way.
Oh, gosh,
It did bring us a lot of joy
over
the years.
But I guess that, I would have been uber proud. I feel proud that you just were like, no, pick yourself up and just go to work. You know, swallow your pride, deal with it.
I'm going to try to bring my kids up like that. At the moment, I can't see it happening, but I'm going to really try.
Because I think as well, living up north, it's not... Well, it's easier now because transport, communications are so much better, but it just wasn't easy to get into the business unless you went to drama school.
We
couldn't afford that, could we, then, really?
No, I would have desperately, desperately loved to go to, like, Sylvia Young or Italia Conti, and I used to send off for the brochures all the time, and I'd just be like, no, no way can I do this. It's just so expensive.
You could have got a grant or a scholarship or something.
But, but do you know what? The northern mentality and our upbringing, we just didn't know about anything like that. Like, I meet people now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm really good friends with Kelly Young from Liberty X, and she wasn't from a privileged background, but she went, and that's because she wrote off for grants and stuff, and, you know, she went to a private school, and I think it just gave her that mentality that, actually, I can do it. And I just didn't have it. I thought, oh, it's never going to happen for me. I can't. So,
vision of little baby Kimberly with your brochures.
just
longingly looking at them.
They were all there, Mount View, a lot of them. but at least I did manage to do it in a roundabout way.
You totally did. Massive pat on the back, girl. Yeah. Totally. Absolutely. Super inspiring.
That's funny.
And you're just... delight to talk to you, Diane. It's so nice to meet you.
And
it's just been so nice to see both of you just take a trip down memory lane and just all these like little memories.
Trigger things, doesn't it, when you start talking?
So nice.
And just as a sort of last note, I feel like I interrupted you when you said that there were a few other things that you felt proud of, Kimberly. Oh. So there was obviously that moment when she was rejected initially from the band, and then you saw her go back to work and just be so sort of like, you know, just dragging her tail, but doing it in the most gracious way.
Yes.
And then obviously it's probably being a mummy, I would have thought.
Of course,
a fantastic
mummy.
I've
never needed you more than that, I don't think, though, which is quite funny.
Really?
I was so independent before I had Bobby. I'd really, like, I'd got my own place, you know, I'd got my own house. I didn't really ask you for much in that respect, but my goodness. Then the day that I got home from the hospital, that next morning, I said, please, can you both come round to my mum and my older sister? And they opened the door and I just cried for about an hour. I just couldn't even believe what I was dealing with. Why didn't you tell me the truth about this? It was obviously a lot of, like, emotions that come out, you know, after birth and stuff, but I just felt like, I honestly felt for the first time in a long time, like the child again, like, mommy, take this child and help me.
How long did you stay for?
I think a fair few days, to be honest. Yeah. I was like, please don't leave.
Because he wasn't feeding in there, was he?
Oh, no, he was having real problems feeding. Yeah. It was hard.
She stuck at him. That's another thing I was proud of her for.
That's amazing.
Yeah, you did. Didn't you? And you got there in the end.
Nicola said about that the other day, and because we were chatting, and she randomly said in front of everybody, "Remember when Bobby finally latched on that day when I was at your house, and how much you cried?" And then I cried, and I was like, "Yeah, I did actually." It's a bit random that you were visiting on that day, but you saw it all.
It's random that you brought it up today too.
So funny, but that just reminded me.
Yeah,
but you definitely need your mum.
Yeah.
You're never too old to need your mum. There's always something that'll come along that you need them for, I guess.
David, it's been so nice talking to you.
Oh, thank you.
For letting us into your home.
No worries.
And into your life and into your heart. It's been absolutely beautiful.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Fabulous is Britain's most read women's magazine and is packed full of affordable fashion and beauty, as well as exclusive interviews with our most loved female celebrities. It's also free every week in the Sun on Sunday. Join me next time on Things I Told My Daughter when I get another chance to meet an amazing mum and daughter duo. If you subscribe to the podcast on your app, you won't miss an episode. Tell us what you think of our podcast too. Please leave a review on your podcast app or talk to us on Twitter at FabulousMag. I'm Lisa Snowden and you've been listening to Things I Told My Daughter. Thanks for listening.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.